You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
The right-wing party, Golden Dawn, won 18 seats in Greece's parliament last year. Golden Dawn promises to cleanse the country of corruption. That corruption apparently includes anything foreign, whether it be bureaucrats in Brussels or Afghan migrants looking for asylum. Events like the success of Golden Dawn are raising concerns that Europe is experiencing a revival of the radical right. Comparisons to what happened across Europe in the 1930s are even being made. Professor Oliver Schmidtke is the director at the Center for Global Studies at the University of Victoria, and he's joined me to discuss the rise of the right-wing extremism in Europe. Hello, Oliver, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with a big question. How does the current economic slump in Europe compare with the one in the 1930s in Europe?
To a certain extent, you know, this comparison is exaggerated. We don't see the hungry masses, you know, in the streets. We don't see the same degree of desperation. But on the other hand, if you think about the implications of the current austerity measures, you know, it sounds like an innocent economic policy by the state to do something about the budget. But really, on the ground, it has implications, in particular for the middle class. It feels greatly unnerved about this development. You know, it's faced with uncertainty, with fear about its future in a globalizing world. And in this political climate, you can see at least a fertile ground for political radicalism, in particular coming from the right, claiming, you know, as long as we protect the interests of our nationals, then, you know, everything will be fine. You know, these kind of highly simplistic solutions to very complex problems of the economic crisis. So, though we might not be there yet, we do see signs of a rise of an extremist right that has very troubling similarities to what we've seen in the 1930s.
Well, Greece, as I said in the introduction, has the rise of a right-wing party called the Golden Dawn. It, of course, is one of the most countries where the population is most affected by the current economic crisis. How seriously should we take the political rise of the Golden Dawn party?
If we only look to Greece, you know, I think, you know, this is a country where we have established parties losing much of their credibility and their support. So I think if we looked into Greece, it is troubling indeed that, you know, there is no one left of the established party that people seem to trust. So, you know, it is really, we see an unraveling of the political system, the political establishment in this country. But I don't want to sound too alarmist, because if we look across Europe, it is a mixed picture. In some countries, the extreme right has been on the rise, namely, you know, particularly France, you know, with the Front National being very strong, in Scandinavian countries, Finland in particular. But in other countries, they've been on the decline, like in the Netherlands, Geert Wilders just lost elections, Austria. So it's a really mixed picture. But Greece is, at the moment, probably Hungary is another example, a hotspot of the rise of extremism due to the economic crisis that we see at the moment.
And in Hungary, the main target of the right wing is the Roma people, is that right?
Roma, immigrants, Jews, you know, that was, you know, an initiative, you know, a couple of weeks back where the movement for Better Hungary, as they're called, but they're really pretty nasty extreme right wing party, demanded to identify all Jews in government and state agency because they were seen as a security threat. So we hear stuff like this, anti-Semitism, hatred against the Roma, foreigners. You know, that's the bread and butter of the extreme right. And in a form that we don't see too often across Europe, because some of the right-wing parties try to gain respectability. You know, they try to present themselves as a credible alternative in the political party system. Whereas what we see in Hungary and partly in Greece is really one of the, if you could say, the traditional racist form of extreme political parties on the right in Europe.
Germany, what is the situation there in terms of the rise of the radical right? Is it at all comparable to what's happening in Greece or Hungary?
As you and your listeners might know, Germany is at the moment the economic powerhouse, so there's no immediate sense of crisis there. And indeed, although if you look at the last 20, 30 years, Germany is somewhat of an exception, partly because there hasn't been a charismatic leader for the extreme right that could have provided a winning platform in competitive party politics. So there's no extreme right party in parliament, in the federal parliament, at least in Germany. And also, you know, that's part of the legacy of Europe as well. There seems to be still a relatively robust rejection of the extreme right, you know, branding them in the tradition of the Third Reich. So there's been lots of reservation, if you want, a stigmatization of the extreme right. Still, you know, they are active in civil society. And at the moment, the German Constitutional Court looks into banning actually the Nationalist Party. You know, it's a relatively small party, using legal means to ban them from running in elections and so forth. So that's, you know, your readers might say that might be also a doubtful way of looking into this. Maybe they drive this party underground and they may do more harm there than actually in competitive party politics. But that's the situation in Germany. A relatively modest success in electoral terms, but we definitely see forms of racial violence, of xenophobia in civil society. So it hasn't translated into party politics yet.
We had the case of Anders Breivik, who did the massacre of young people on a racist basis in Norway. Is there any way of assessing the kind of impact he had on the rise of radical right political movements in other parts of Europe?
That's a very good question, because it was really a wake-up call for parts of Europe. And Breivik seemed to have had some kind of connection with the party, with the right-wing party in Norway. So yeah, it also led to discrediting this particular party. And for many, it was, you know, a reminder that what these parties are doing, you know, in very populist ways, right, the nativist arguments about kicking out foreigners and thus, you know, dealing with the economic crisis, yeah, branding them as scapegoats of what is happening at the moment in terms of the economic downturn. And, you know, many commentators have realized, you know, what these parties are doing, this has consequences. You know, there are people out there that will take this to the extreme, that will target foreigners. And I think, you know, this extreme form of right-wing violence, you know, has also led to the recognition that we have to be very careful about, you know, how also elite politicians act in the public arena. I'm not sure to what degree it has put an end to the rise of the extreme right in Norway, but it, for sure, I think there are some sobering thoughts of many people considering what this means on the ground. The legitimation of violence, it seems, against foreigners.
The governments that are introducing the austerity policies across the world, in fact, including in Europe, obviously, how have they responded to the growth of the right wing?
They, you know, as in terms of a neoliberal ideology, you know, they think, you know, that's what is needed, the only way out of the economic turmoil that we see unfolding in Europe. But there are other voices as well that say, you know, you can only go so far. And, for example, the German Chancellor has been the leading force in attacking or addressing the economic crisis in terms of austerity measures. She had to realize, you know, that you can only go so far in terms of imposing these restrictions on cutting back state funding, on slashing income for, in particular, the middle class. And I think we have come to the tipping point in a country like Greece, where you really feel the impoverishment of part of the middle class. And there is, I think, some recognition of this in the elites of Europe, that, you know, the social and political crisis that we nourish with these austerity measures, you know, they might undermine, you know, the very idea of some kind of rejuvenation of those countries, of giving them a better future, because, you know, if this goes the political way it seems in Greece at the moment, yeah, then you have even bigger problems at hand.
Some of the established conservative parties also themselves flirt with anti-immigrant sentiment?
Oh, definitely. You know, it is, unfortunately, it is very attractive to do this in competitive party politics. It pays off, and it's almost tragic to see that some of the conservatives across Europe, they see this as a political weapon in elections. And, you know, indeed, you know, some of what came out of, let's say, the Sarkozy, the conservative government in France before the socialists were voted in, they clearly flirted with anti-immigrant sentiments. And that is, you know, that has also sparked and given legitimacy to the extreme right. So it is really a great responsibility that the elite has on the left and the right to in a way, stigmatize the extreme right, to isolate them. But, you know, what has happened, indeed, across Europe is also a certain degree of acceptance of the extreme right in government. Think about Italy, where they've been part of the coalition partner and coalition in government, Austria as well. So I think the elite and mass media, for this matter, they bear a great responsibility in looking at what the extreme right, its rhetoric of anti-foreign sentiment, actually means.
We began our discussion looking at Greece and the success electorally of the Golden Dawn. But in Greece as well, it's a country where the left party, Syriza, had great electoral success in the last voting. Do we see any signs that there are other more creative and progressive alternatives in Europe?
Now you would hope that the crisis also leads to more progressive solutions to these kind of issues, but what we see in a way is also a crisis of the political establishment, of which the left, at least part of it, is, you know, is an integral part. So, you know, if you look where the extreme right has risen, it's also often in political systems where the left and the right are very consensus-driven, that they are part or seem to be part of the same establishment. So in a way, what we see with the rise of the extreme right is also a crisis of the established social democratic left. There is a real disjunction between those parties and, you know, civil society. Think about the Occupy movement. You know, civil society is far more creative and active than the established social democratic left that has widely also bought into a kind of a neoliberal ideology. So, you know, it is frustrating to see, and to a certain extent, an indication of the crisis of the moderate left, what is unfolding at the moment in Europe.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning. We appreciate it greatly, Oliver.
Thank you very much, and have a good day.
Bye-bye. I've been speaking with Professor Oliver Schmidtke. He is the director at the Center for Global Studies at the University of Victoria.